Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's say hello to Coach Billy Donlin, head coach of the Kansas City Roos. What's up, Coach? How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Hanging in there. Enjoying the fact that only 4 days this week since we enjoyed the holiday on Monday. How are you and your family doing?
We're doing well, thanks, Stephen. You know, it was a good holiday weekend. We have our 14-month-old daughter, Emily, and it's been, until I can go back to campus, it's been daddy daycare. So to all the, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, but now that I'm experiencing it firsthand, I've always had great appreciation, but it only makes you appreciate what all the stay-at-home parents do. But it's been great. It's been a great time. That part of it's been the positive. You know, the blessing and what's going on is I get to spend some time with my daughter that normally would not be able to and experience some things that normally would not be able to. So that's been kind of the blessing.
I'm with you right there. I that resonates with me. Give us an update on how everything is going with your program through this. It seems like every week there are changes and different things to address and talk about. What about for you and your staff and your team as we get ready to enter June next week?
Yes, it's a trying time because there's a lot of unknowns. I do think that UMKC has done a remarkable job. I meant to say this last week, not this past Saturday, the last weekend, all of our graduates, they had their online ceremony, which was done in a first-class way. And then Kansas City, the city, lit up in UMKC colors and had Go Roos up around the city. So I think the combination, they did everything they could to make our graduates feel their importance, both to the university and to the city and the community. So I thought that was really well done by the chancellor and by the mayor, working together to do the best they can under the circumstances. In terms of our program, Stephen, we just hope that we all just make it through and we get to have an athletic season. When you look at what's going on around the country, most recently Appalachian State just cut about four sports. East Carolina cut, I think, five or six sports. The other day, I think UConn is getting ready. Connecticut's getting ready to make some cuts. Bowling Green cut baseball, which, I coached in Ohio for 10 years, and I know how proudful Bowling Green is of their baseball program. So for them to make that cut was significant, but it also shows, and I say this, and it's not a plug. It's a difficult time, but baseball was cut at Bowling Green, and the AD said it'll save $2 million. And so what did the baseball alums at Bowling Green do? They've raised $1.2 million so far to try to save the program. If you're a fan of UMKC, wherever you're a fan of an athletic program, fundraising has never been more important. And when there's a time when we get back off of our feet as a country, it is concerning because when you look at, student athletes, those sports that get cut, they can't play anywhere. Coaches losing their jobs. So it is an important time that way. It's a challenging time. We had a Zoom call with all of our team last night. We hope to potentially, I use the word potentially, return in July. We have some protocols that have to get met. But right now, we hope to potentially return in July. Doesn't mean we will. Certainly, our people, Dr. Martin, the doctors, are monitoring all the different variables. And if those variables don't continue to improve or show progress, then we won't. But that's kind of where it is for us and our program. But it's a delicate time. When you look at sports being cut, the impact it has on those kids, their families, and the coaches and their families, it's a very, very delicate time.
Coach, if you guys are able to resume or return, as you said, in July, is that like, are you able to do group things? Is it Are you going to have to keep players kind of separated while they go through workouts? What is it? What's the general sketch of what it looks like for you guys in July if you are able to get back?
Well, for us, I think our medical team has put together a really good plan. So we'll, you know, you guys have been to Sweeney, and it'll be totally open. The four courts, we won't have the bleachers out. And basically, we won't have more than four players in the gym at a time, and it'll be we have four courts in Sweeney, and it'll be one player per court with one coach per player, and then I'll kind of oversee everything. So, and our guys will have masks on, and the coaches will have masks and gloves on. It's hard to dribble and shoot with gloves on, so our guys won't have gloves on, but they will do their workout. On their own court, there'll be separation. There'll be no contact, no physical contact, no one-on-one, no obviously no team play. We only have four guys, so it'll be mostly working on shooting and ball handling and a little bit of passing. And then obviously we can do some conditioning out on the track and very similar procedure in the weight room. No more than four guys, four players at a time in the weight room. And I told our guys if they come back, it'll be very similar to quarantine. There isn't a curfew because you can't go out. It'll literally be you're in your apartment, you're in the weight room, you're on the basketball court. And then we have testing procedures in order to monitor the health of our guys every single day, and protocols that they have to meet every single day to make sure that everybody's healthy. That is the potential plan right now, but certainly if they come back, there won't be any banging. It'll be strictly skill development and with an individual, with you and a coach. And there's a lot of positives to that, Nate. You get a lot of extra one-on-one time with a guy. You get to specifically work on that guy's weaknesses, areas of improvements, and also continue to solidify his strengths. I think a lot of times in the offseason, you worry so much about a guy's weakness. And that's important. You got to improve a player, but another way to improve a player is make their strength stronger. And so we'll try to do a little bit of both in that area. Again, if we come back, I think our people have put together a really good plan. And we've also talked to all the parents of our players to see their comfort level. And if players and parents aren't comfortable with coming back, then they won't come back. And there won't be, I'm not going to get upset about it. I get it. But that's kind of some of the different measures we've put in place. We're fortunate at UMKC where our guys all live together in terms of not really around other people. And so the risk of if you keep everybody quarantined together, the risk of getting it isn't as great because they're not going out. They're not socializing with maybe other people outside of the team that are going other places that could potentially bring it back. We're doing everything in our power to prepare for the possibility of return. But I know both our chancellor, Dr. Martin, our medical people, we're not 100% there that it's going to happen. We do have a pretty good plan in place, though, I think, if that decision gets made.
Okay, Coach, we've asked this of Mike Boddicker, who was on before you, longtime former Major League pitcher for the Orioles and here with the Kansas City Royals, who comes on our show every week. We just asked him for some kids that have been maybe off of their normal activity and sports activity, what's the best way, maybe some tips for parents to get their kids back in baseball shape, especially pitchers dealing with young arms. He gave us some tips for that. What about some kids out there that are missing out on workouts, whether it's a high school basketball player or some kids that maybe are missing out on summer basketball? Could you give us maybe some easy tips for parents out there to keep their young basketball players in shape and keep their games sharp and ready for when they are able to get back on the court again with their teammates?
Well, yeah, I think it's a great question, Stephen, and things we've talked about with our guys. First of all, one of the great things about our sport is you just need a ball and a hard surface. If you have a ball and a hard surface, you can keep your dexterity with the ball kind of in place. You can do a lot of stationary ball handling. There's all kinds of drills for that. If you have a driveway and the weather's okay, I grew up in Chicago, and I can remember doing ball handling drills with my dad out in our driveway in 40-degree weather, 45-degree weather, just out there, you know, working on different kinds of moves. So you can certainly do that in your driveway if you have a basement and you need to be inside, or you can go in your garage and do some stationary ball handling to just kind of keep that feel of the ball. And what we've told our guys is, you know, go for runs. Try to keep yourself in the best cardiovascular shape that you can. Your skills are going to be deteriorated because you can't get to a gym. You're not going to be able to get shots. So some of your skills will deteriorate, but it's really hard if you've got to get your skills back and your conditioning is really bad. So we want our guys to be a week away from being in shape. That's kind of our challenge to them is, can you be a week away from being in good shape? You know, and you can do that through running, you can do that through sprints. If, you know, I would say to any parent listening, if your son or daughter has not really been able to do anything, you know, and that's okay. If they just hasn't been able to exercise or do anything and they're starting ready to go back to do that, you got to remember, I think we forget this, like, you sometimes you don't realize how bad of a shape you get into when you haven't done anything in a while, right? You go for that first run and you're like, oh my God, I can't run 50 yards without having to stop. And so what's important there is don't try to do too much too fast. You know, set a baseline. See if you can run hard for 30 seconds. If you're trying to go a little bit longer distance, see if you can jog for 10 or 15 minutes. You know, don't try to do too much too fast. And then eventually grow into it. You know, because that if you try to do too much too fast, fellas, that leads to injuries. You know, and then the last part I would tell you that is very, very significant that you can certainly do is on the daily, I would recommend three times a day is stretch. Continue to stretch, keep your body loose. That's really, really important. And if you do work out, the post stretch is actually more important than the pre-stretch stretch, according to all the science. So stretching after, I think a lot of people, when they exercise, they warm up, they do some warm up, they do some stretch before they exercise, and then after they forget that post stretch, and that's probably more critical than the pre stretch. So those are just some little tips I would tell people in general over the years that we've learned from the experts. But in terms of your game, I think that's the great part about basketball is you just need a ball on a hard surface to kind of keep your familiarity with the ball going, and you can do that. And there's all kinds. I mean, with videos today, you just put in YouTube, just put in ball handling drills, and 1,000 of them will come up, and you can just watch those and try to copy them and get better. So there's a lot of different things that way, and we've sent our guys obviously some workouts for them to do.
Well, you're speaking Kelly Bucchetti's language, Coach. She is always on me about the post exercise stretch. That whether you go for a jog, whatever it is, that stretching after the workout, which they didn't teach us when we were younger. I feel like we stretched for like 5 to 10 minutes before practice, and then we just were done, you know, after practice was over. But that's maybe, like you said, more important than what you do before practice.
No, it is. It's funny, you know, Nate, that's 100%. Like when I was a kid growing up, even through high school, like the post stretch was not, and really a lot of my college career post stretching. It wasn't until I went to play in Europe. The Europeans were really big on it before your workout. We all got hooked up to the heart monitors to see where we were for that day, which I know not everybody can do. But then certainly their post, they really, really valued the post stretch. I mean, and to a degree, I'll be honest, like, you know, it's a professional level. Sometimes that post stretch after a really hard practice was like agonizing. But you could see it work. You could feel it work over the next few days. You weren't as sore. You had a quicker recovery, and it made you stronger. So it is critical, and it doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete or a workout warrior or just somebody who exercises, you know, moderately but consistently. You've got to post stretch. It's so important to your body. It helps improve you. But the other thing that it really does is it makes you durable, and it's injury preventiveness, and we all could use that. You know, nobody wants to get hurt when they're working out or exercising.
Where did you play at in Europe?
I played, so I always tell this story. I'll tell a quick story. I had it leads to a Scottie Pippen moment, and I try not to be long-winded. I'll say it as quickly as I can. So I have Irish citizenship, and what made that so important, fellas, is I didn't count as one of the Americans. And back back when I was playing, this was it was 2002, when I was playing in Europe, you could only have two Americans per team. In the really good leagues, those two Americans were NBA players. Some of them had played in the NBA, and some of them were making over $1 million a year in Europe, versus if they played in the NBA, they might make $500,000. So they decided to play in Europe. And the other thing about playing in Europe for those guys, and really for anybody, is it's not an 82-game season. You know, you really only play once a week, occasionally twice a week. And that obviously limits the amount of, you know, it keeps your body, you know, you might have a chance to play longer because you're playing less through your year. So anyways, I had a great agent. He grew up in New York City with my parents. He normally would have no business representing a little guy like me. So I was small potatoes. He was Drazen Petrovic's agent. He was a legendary player named Andre Rigaudot's agent. I mean, as I said, he grew up with my parents, so he helped me get a tryout for Treviso Benetton, which is the famous Italian team that Tony Kukoc played for, and Mike D'Antoni was the coach.
Oh, wow.
And I lasted. I was trying to be Tyus Edney, who was the great point guard at UCLA. Trying to be Tyus Edney's backup. And I lasted longer than I thought I would. I think I lasted nearly 2 months. I think it was 50 days or 40 days, and it was awesome because I had come from a defensive world. And not that Coach D'Antoni can't teach defense, but his emphasis is on offense. And it really helped me as a player that was going to become a coach learn some unbelievable techniques offensively. I mean, he's brilliant. So anyways, they cut me, which also tells you how smart Coach D'Antoni is, because he was smart enough to recognize that I wasn't good enough, and he cut me. So I went to France to play in their top division, and I'll just fast forward to you. That team, we started 0-6 in the top division of the French league, and there were some great players in that league, guys that played at Georgetown, guys that played at Villanova, guys that played at Kansas, guys that played at Missouri. It was a really, really good league. So we start 0-6. And they literally have not played me a minute in any of the games. They just haven't played me. And I'm a pretty honest guy. I try to be fair. My practice is, I deserve to play. I don't know if I deserve to start, but I deserve a chance. So the coach of the team was an American. He had been over there a long time, but he was an American. And he knew my dad. You know, my dad, fellas, in our profession is really well known by the coaches. It's really his career and his track record. So having the same name, being named after my father in our profession, has always been a blessing for me because of his reputation. And so think about this. The general manager of the French team and the coach calls me in after we're 0-5 or 0-6, and he says, hey, Billy, we're going to send you home. You know, we're going to cut you. So now I'm getting ready to be cut twice. And I said, okay. And then they were like, but listen, we really respect your basketball knowledge. We think you're really smart about basketball. What would you do to help fix our team? And I said to them, you know, I was 24 and I was really full of, I was really full of something and vinegar. I don't know if I can say the first word, but I was really
sure
full
you
of
can.
Something
you're,
and vinegar.
You're full of piss and vinegar. It's all right.
Say it all, baby. Say it all in this show,
yeah.
Coach.
Let it out.
I was full of piss and vinegar. And
yeah.
I said to him, I said, fellas, let me get this straight. We're 0-5 or 0-6, and I'm the only guy you're cutting? You haven't played me a minute. I said, I'm not telling you to cut other guys, but I haven't played. Like, your answer to an 0-5 team is to cut the guy that's not playing? Like, and then you think everything's going to get better? I said, look, I'm not, hey, I'll get another job. I'll go somewhere and get another job. And play well, but I said, that just doesn't make sense to me. And I said, look, I like my teammates. I said, I think I'm better than you guys think I am, and you haven't even given me a chance. You know, I mean, I said, Coach, you haven't even given me a chance. I said, I think you should give me a chance in a game and see what we do. you know, just play me. I said, I'm not going to get into what you guys should do with other personnel. I said, but I do think you should take a hard look at, we're 0-5 and you're cutting the guy that doesn't play. That's like being in, you know, the NFL football and cutting the backup quarterback who hasn't played a game and saying that's going to solve all of our problems. You know, so it's bringing back memories, fellas. You can probably hear it in my voice. So, anyways, we're going to play the best team in France that next weekend. So those guys said, okay, we'll keep you for another week. So we're going up, we're going to play Gravelines, which is, what was great about it was, well, this part wasn't great, it was a 15-hour bus ride from where we were in Bourg-en-Bresse, France, which is about 40 minutes from Lyon. It's a 15-hour bus ride, but here's the great part. We're at Gravelines, it's right near Normandy. So you were, you know, and the impact of that to be able to be there. So we're playing the best team. They play me. I play like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I have like 11 points, 6 assists, and we're up 7 with a minute and a half to go. And our coach gets a technical foul. They get a 3-point play to go to 4. Our coach gets a technical foul with under a minute to go. He gets another technical foul for throwing the chair in the stands, and we eventually lose the game, I think, in overtime. So we lose. Well, they cut me the next week. So I had 11-5, really the only game I ever really played. I think I played one other game where they played me, but they cut me. But they asked me, they said, Billy, we're going to go in another direction. I said, no problem. They said, but we'll, you know, we need you to stay around to practice until we get your replacement. And contractually, I was obligated until they formally cut me. So the next week, we're playing on the road again. I forget who it was. And I told them, I said, look, I got to be selfish. I'll practice and I'll practice hard. I'll do all the things I'm supposed to do, but I'm not going to play in the game. Like, if you know you're cutting me, I'm not going to risk injury in the game. So we go to the next place, and the guy, we're getting killed. It's like a 27-point beating early, like early. It was quick. I mean, they beat us quick. And it's like the third quarter, and the guys on our team, you can tell, they didn't really feel like playing. So we were going to get beat even more, even worse. So the coach looks at me and he says, Billy, will you go in? I said, absolutely not. And it's the only time in my life. It's the only time in my life where, like, I didn't follow through on an order from a coach. Because when you are a professional, you do have to think about some things a little bit selfishly because it's your livelihood. But I wasn't going to go in when they were going to cut me on Monday and send me somewhere else. And just to tell you a little bit about the level, so I got cut in France, and then 2 days later, I get another job in Germany. And the guy I went to the German team to replace was Adonis Jordan, who was a great point guard for Kansas.
Yeah, baby.
So they kind of tells you a little bit. The German team had cut Adonis, and they brought me in, and we actually had a really good season. I think when I went there, we were in 8th, and we finished in 4th and made the playoffs, which was a really big deal. So I ended up having a really good year. I think I led the German league in assists. So I had it. So I got cut twice, and rightfully so, and certainly in Italy with Benetton. But then I had a good season in Germany. But that's my moment of I'm not playing. No, I'm not going into the game. Billy, will you go in? No, absolutely not. I'm not going in. And I've actually shared that story with my players too. So, you know, I've always felt like that was a good story. But that's my European experience. And sorry, it's probably bad radio, but sorry it's so long-winded.
It's actually really good radio, but did Bill Cartwright start yelling at you when you refused to go in the game? Did that happen by any chance?
Well, we weren't playing for a championship. We were already 0-7, and that was the reason we were 0-7. So times they were a little different.
That was awesome. And I just Nate likes the fact that they cut Adonis Jordan to make room for you. So that's
I loved that's a Adonis Jordan. He was one of my favorite players when I was a high school kid.
And just a reminder, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, he was a much better what?
He's a much better player than I was. It just was the timing and the way it worked. I just, you know, but it tells you the quality of player that was over there playing. And I always talk about with our guys, like, you know, you guys have all aspirations to play in the NBA, and that's fine. I'm not here to crush your dreams. But let me tell you something. The guys that play in Europe are really good. The guys that play in the professional leagues in Australia are really good. This game, and now it's even more global than it was in 2000, 2001, 2002, and that time. I mean, it's really hard to play. It's really hard to make a team. And, you know, the big advantage I had was having Irish citizenship, so I didn't count as an American. So I was not competing against the pros, our best guys that went over there to play from the States. I was competing against other really, really good European players. And that really, really helped me. Because if I didn't have that Irish citizenship, I have dual citizenship. If I did not have that, I would have had no chance to play at those levels and be considered as one of the two Americans. I certainly want to make that clear as well.
Coach, thank you so much for the time. And always interesting to be reminded that no matter what the context is, whenever anyone says Tyus Edney, that still feels like a kick in the balls to any Mizzou fan that's ever followed Mizzou basketball. So I'm sure the boys, the Kansas fellas back in studio love that one. Coach, thanks for the time. That was awesome. That was a great story, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Great. Thanks, fellas, so much. Stay safe, everybody.
That's some pretty good stuff right there. Coach Donlin was not going in that game. So, Jake, by the way, I could hear you laughing through my headset when he described the idea of being cut and he hadn't played a minute, but that was the reason why they were 0-5.
Oh, yeah. If you're looking for solutions here, guys, cutting a guy who hasn't played a minute, that's a great way to go. I think you're going to solve everything. I think you got it figured out.
Yep.
Cut me.
I'm sorry. Next week, we're going to have to... We're all going to have to restart and go deeper into his time in Europe. He was dropping a lot of names there.
Right.
I need some more on. You know, I need some more information. And
I need more about his agent.
Yeah,
he's a damn exactly. Fine agent.
All kinds of hell breaking Mike D'Antoni and everything else.
Yeah,
I need to hear more about this. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Nick Leckie on Sports Radio 810 WHB.